الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم، إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت، وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها، وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Alhamdulillah, with the help, kindness, and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are people from our community that have already started to depart for going for the Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that those individuals that have not gone for Hajj, inshallah, they will make niyyah and make a sincere attempt to prepare for its inshallah going. This is a very beautiful talk that I've had an opportunity to download and will share with you, wherein Allah says, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. And proclaim. وَأَذِّنْ means to make i'lan, to inform, to share the idea, to present its information, talk about it, and share everything regarding it to those that are around us, and for those that have a capacity to do it, to those that are distant, we should do it. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and proclaim the pilgrimage, the Hajj, amongst people. And as far as the people are concerned, they will come to fulfill the Hajj on foot, they will come on animal, they will come on every type of conveyance. Just the other day we heard, there were some cyclists that are going from England all the way for the Hajj through cycling. We know of cases in which there are people up to now, they actually walk miles and miles, they leave months and months in advance to fulfill the sacredness of the Hajj. And this is what the Quran is talking about, that people will come to it in various forms and from various journeys and from distant highways and mountains and pathways. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ. Why? So that they may witness the benefits provided for them, and they will be able to celebrate the name of Allah. It's giving us something to think about. So we may witness the benefits. What are the benefits of the Ka'batullah? What are the benefits of being in that spiritual place? Many of us don't appreciate the benefits. We will never appreciate the benefits because for the most part, we are who we are, whether we are here or whether we are there. Simple example, today you came from your house to here. How many red cars did you see? Let's be honest. Can you give me an exact figure? I'm sure there were red cars on the road. How many people did you see on the road? I'm sure there were a few people that were walking. But Shaitan plays a game at us. When somebody asks this question, he's asking us how many red cars on the road. What is Imam is thinking? Does he have a brain? He's talking about red cars on the road. Friday, khutbah time, red cars. See how we think? He's talking about how many people on the road. Who walks in America? Yes, the same mentality we take over there in Hajj. That's why we can't witness. The Quran is saying, so they may witness the benefits. And we don't witness the benefits because just like from home to here, we just come straight. So we don't see what's on the road. And Allah is saying, you must observe over there. Where did Bilal radiallahu ta'ala and walked? Where did the Sahaba walked? Where did the Tabi'een walked? Where did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked? What did he do? How did he do what he had done? What did he make into a reality? MashaAllah, see Dr. Hamadiya, subhanAllah. Still 1 month for Eid. How come? MashaAllah. May Allah bless him, MashaAllah. He did a lot for our community from the medical point of view and various other points of view. May Allah bless him and his family. And I see his son over here, Alhamdulillah, as well. So anyway, the point here is,
So the idea of going for Umrah and the Hajj in this case is so we may witness. What's the definition of witness? The definition of witness is something that you become part of. That is why they say if something happens to someone, who are the witnesses? أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءً عَلَى النَّاسِ. You must become a moderate nation as a witness to the people. That's why Muslims are supposed to be moderate. Why are we moderate? Because that way we show it to others, and others know how to become moderate in nature. So Allah is saying the same thing here. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. That we may witness the benefits of complexity, of diversity, of spirituality, and we may celebrate the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not what we do over there. You know, so many complaints we get. You know, people go with their wives, they go with their children, and the father wants his hand massaged for 3 hours. Imagine, you're over there, you're supposed to be near the Ka'batullah, and now you want your son to massage your this hand and that hand and this feet and that feet and this head and that head for 3 hours, 4 hours. The guy is saying, I came there to perform Hajj and I'm doing what I used to do back home. So what did I do? I'm not saying don't be in the goodness of your parents, but parents too have to realize that your schedule is going to change. Your eating habits are going to change. Your talking habits have to change. Your Quran habits have to change. And all these things. So Allah is saying, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. And this must take place for أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, for those given point of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us to fulfill this given criteria of the Hajj. Thereafter the Shaykh says, and he makes a very beautiful point, as far as pilgrims are concerned, they long for the day. Some of them will put all their financial resources together for years and years. Some people 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. They put all their resources together. Why? So they may see the Ka'batullah. They prepare themselves mentally and spiritually. And in America, we don't do it that way because, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with a lot of money very, very fast comparatively. And even if you don't have the money, you just swipe the credit card and next thing you're on the plane. So we don't appreciate it that much. But it's passing a very beautiful, that's why, you know, we put less into it, so we get less out of it. So the Shaykh is saying here, there are people that spend a lot of their resources, they prepare themselves for years and years mentally and spiritually to perform this pillar of Islam. What did he say? Perform this pillar. He didn't just say perform the Hajj. Like right here you see pillars. What's the purpose of a pillar? Is to hold things up. Alhamdulillah, Dr. Hammadi, I'm sure, is here for Jamaat. Why is he here in Jamaat? To hold up the pillar. What is the pillar he's here to hold? The pillar of La ilaha illallah. The pillar of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Sounds like regular stuff, right? Yes, I know you're going to say that. But what does La ilaha illallah mean? None worthy of worship except Allah. I don't worship people. I don't worship things. I don't worship individuals. I don't worship homes. I don't worship cars. I don't worship, except I worship one Allah. What does that one Allah demand? He demands salah. He demands zakah. He demands the Hajj. He demands being good to your parents. He demands following what is right and abstaining from what is wrong. That's what he's talking about here. So likewise, the Hajj is the pillar. And we have to treat it like a pillar, not like a vacation. You know, going there, mashallah, I have a long list, 70 things I have to buy, so and so, check them off, check them off. After Asr, I've got to go here. After Maghrib, I've got to go 7 miles away because that's where the bazaar is cheaper over there. All that is taking your time away from what Allah has intended for you. That is why the best gift you can give a person who's going for the Hajj is, please, for the sake of Allah, don't bring anything for me. Just go and enjoy it. Go and enjoy being near the Ka'batullah. Forget the gift, forget this, forget that. And we get people, what they say, I know one person, mashallah, I shouldn't say mashallah, inna lillah. She told to her husband, if you're not going to bring a gold set from Hajj, don't come back home. That's what she said, mashallah. I mean, that's what, you don't come back. If you're not going to bring that gold set, so he says, I'm going to be in Hajj. And what she says, but you're going to stop in Dubai. She knew that, mashallah, what Dubai airport has, not giving anybody ideas. This is the thing here, my brothers. So it's a pillar of Islam. And he says, people should prepare, and people prepare for it mentally and spiritually. way in advance. And as far as the people are concerned, they are from different backgrounds, they are from different colors, they are from different locations. And they are there for one purpose, to meet, to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go between Safa and Marwa, and to stand at the place of Arafah. Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqoo rabbakum, inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. You know, the end of time, there'll be a huge shake-up that will take place. And this is what, that's why he quotes this given ayah. The idea of those places to be is to make you see the diversity and make you realize that Qiyamah is far closer to me than I can ever think. That's why he's quoting, Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqoo rabbakum, inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. In the essence of time, to simply state, a mother, for example, does not just leave her baby and run away. There are many hadith regarding this. A mother doesn't do that because she loves, it's her child. And a time will come, Allah is saying, on that day where every nursing mother will be so distracted from the child she was nursing, and every pregnant woman will sort of, the baby will just drop itself due to the shock. Allah is saying there's going to be a critical time that will come. A very critical time when everyone will say, me, 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 oh Allah, me and my Jannah. Before that day comes when it's about me, 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 put yourself right now. That you are going for the Hajj. You are planning for the Hajj. Get yourself straightened out. You know, last week I made mention, there was a brother that came here, mashallah, may Allah bless him. Every iftar, in Ramadan, he only ate one meal iftar. So I was joking, I said, mashallah, this year we're seeing you every day for iftar. He says, Imam, the reason why I'm coming to eat iftar here is because I'm involved in a business. I run a business where I sell pork chops, I sell alcohol, I sell all these haram things. He says, but I feel uncomfortable eating from my own wealth. That is why I'm coming. I said, I don't enjoy eating other people's food. But in the month of Ramadan, how can I open my fast with something haram? And the point I'm trying to make is, you are going to go for Hajj. How are you going to go for Hajj? What money are you going to use for Hajj? And then you wonder when you come back, why there is no change in my life? How can there be a change in your life? Remember what I said in the beginning? The way in which we go is the way in which we behave. And the same way we behave there, we expect changes. And the Quran is saying, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Quran is saying this, that there are certain things you must stay away from. So if you don't stay away from those things, your Hajj and Umrah just becomes a vacation, unfortunately. Thereafter, he quotes the beautiful hadith where he says, a perfect and complete Hajj. Remember the key words here. A perfect and complete Hajj. Didn't just say Hajj. A perfect and complete Hajj will have paradise given to that person. That means, you know, the hadith we use, in order to get into a perfect salah, you need a perfect wudu. It's not just about splashing water on the face. I asked a brother one day, so why don't you put a lot of water on your beard? He says, Imam, I use a very expensive dye. What he says, I use a very expensive dye on my beard. If I put too much water, the dye will come out quicker. Subhanallah. So because of that, he has splashes like water. He washes the face part properly, but here he doesn't wash because the more water he uses on the beard, the quicker the dye will come out, he's saying. And you wonder why there is no khushu and khudu in salah. Same thing regarding Hajj. We don't make that extra effort. So therefore it says here, a perfect and complete Hajj, doing what is necessary in the manner in which it ought to be done, will give a person paradise as reward. And thereafter, the hadith by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and also mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, the best of deeds is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Number one. Number two, being in the path and defending Muslim honor and integrity. And number three, a perfect and complete Hajj. Another hadith, the one who performs Hajj and does not take part in those adult relations with, of course, their spouse, does not have filthy thoughts, does not commit sins, will come out of Hajj just as the day in which his mother gave birth to him. So we remember the last part of the hadith, mashallah. When a person comes back, what do you say? Mashallah, it's like as if you are a sinless person. No, no, no. If you owe people money, you still got to pay the money. If you slandered someone, you still got to ask them for forgiveness. If you didn't perform your salah for 10 years and you went for Hajj, you got to make up your salah. You didn't give your zakah for many, many years, you got to do a makeup. So, yes, all that put aside, when you did all that, then of course you'll be like a newborn baby. So my brothers, let's not misunderstand the hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So on the one hand, we wish people well from Hajj. But you and I have to ask ourselves the question, if we have been for Hajj or we intend going for Hajj, what is my preparation for the Hajj? What is my preparation for the Hajj? This is a very important question, because for everything we prepare, nobody just runs a marathon without preparing. Even people that go for simple surgeries, they tell you, well, don't eat so many hours before and don't do this and don't do that. People, after they do a small workout because they intend a bigger workout, well, between workouts, make sure you have this much protein and you do this. For everything we prepare. But for Hajj, Allah will accept. Allah will accept. This type of attitude, inshallah, I hope we will come to change. Another hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the following, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, rush into performing Hajj because one does not know what might happen to them. Rush to perform the Hajj because one does not know what will happen to them. And what we say, I met one brother, I said, MashaAllah, Allah has blessed you, why don't you go for Hajj? You know what he tells me? I'm not ready to keep a beard yet. SubhanAllah. I said, what is the link between beard and Hajj? He says, I'm not ready to keep a beard yet, so I cannot go for Hajj. SubhanAllah. Have you ever heard that in your life? These are the things people have in their mind. Certain cultures have this. If I don't keep a beard, I can't go for Hajj. So keep a beard, I said, and you go for Hajj. No, I'm not ready to have a spiritual change. And the hadith is saying here, rush into hadith. Not me, not you. Hadith is saying, and the Shaykh is quoting, mashallah, rush. And by the way, he's giving the speech near the Ka'batullah. Near the Ka'batullah. So he's giving us nasiha. Rush into performing Hajj because one does not know what might happen to them. Another hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, very beautifully, the following, let one who intends to go for Hajj hurry, rush in going for the Hajj, because that individual does not know, it may be that they will get sick, and by getting sick, they may be not be able to go. Number two, the individual may not find their way for Hajj. How can you not find your way to Hajj? Somebody will ask a question. The scholars have written what that means is, sometimes they may become a political sanction. They may come an issue in which you cannot go for some, like for example, from certain countries, they cannot go. Certain ticketing issues may come up, certain visas issue may come up, you name it, etc., etc. So Allah has given you an opportunity, then make use of that opportunity, because something may occur that will prevent you from going for the Hajj, and then that becomes a problem later on. And of course, if Allah has blessed you with enough amount of money, then as you know from your inheritance, one third can be given in charity. One third can be given to your local, let's say, Islamic school that is taking place. Allah has allowed us to give certain amount of money, up to one third, in various good pathways. So if you haven't been for the Hajj, and for some reason you cannot go, then up to that one third amount, you can make niyyah that so and so in my family, or whoever, should go on my behalf, of course. Now, whether Allah accepts that or not is a whole separate discussion the scholars have amongst themselves. But the point I'm trying to make is we have to prepare ourselves. And by preparing ourselves, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us, not only in this world, but also inshallah in the hereafter to come as well. As I mentioned last week and this week as well, I'll make mention of it. We'll continue talking about this topic, not just this week, but inshallah in coming weeks up to the point of Hajj itself.